So if somebody walked up to you and said, hey, here's $300 billion, I mean, before the smile broke on your face, you'd probably think they were a little bit crazy. But the Barack Obama administration is going to walk up to 300 million Americans or so, actually a bit less if you count just the taxpayers, and give them $300 billion in tax cuts. So the temptation would be to say, do whatever you want with the money. That's okay with us. But in fact, the economic stimulus package actually requires that Americans do some specific things with that money. Well, even if you do have $300 billion, how do you get people to do the things that you want them to do with money like that? Joining us is our predictably irrational fellow, Dan Ariely, who got up this morning to be on the program. That's irrational enough, but he's also the James B. Duke Professor of Behavioral Economics at Duke University. Dan, thanks for joining us.
Thank you, and thank you for having me so late in the program. It's great.
Yes, indeed. We're getting a little more rational with you. So Dan, how do you, as a matter of economics, encourage people to do something specific, say spend their tax cut versus save their tax cut or pay some bills with their tax cut money?
So it turns out that the way we frame the money we give people makes a very big difference. So think for yourself. Imagine that your job said you could get $30 extra every month, or you could get $300 at the end of the year as a bonus. How will that make you feel? How would you use the money differently? Now, what most people think is that if they gave the raise, if they got a raise that is monthly, they will kind of spend the money on bills. But if they got the money at the end of the year as a bonus, they will end up spending it on something big, different, frivolous. So it turns out that the way that we get money makes us feel differently. Or think about something else. What about if you found some money or if you got money as a gift from somebody? You would feel differently about that money. So what happened is that the way we get money influences how we spend it.
Well, the federal government doesn't have a lot of choices. I mean, they can just print money on green checks. That's all they can do. How do they make something look like a gift or feel like a bonus?
So there are multiple ways to do it. First of all, it turns out that the name that you give it can make a difference. Hmm. So Nick Epley, a very smart and clever psychologist, showed that if you give people money and you call it a rebate, people feel that that's their own money. It was their money. You just took it from me and you give it back to me. It's not a big deal. But if you call it a bonus or a gift, people think very differently about it. So just by calling it tax rebate, the argument goes, we're making people feel they're getting back their money and therefore there's no reason for them to spend it.
So you're more likely to save if it's called a rebate.
That's right. It was your money to start with. Mm-hmm. Now I would go a step further. You know, one of the things we know is that when you assign money to a particular category and you separate it from the rest of your money, for example, if I gave you a gift certificate, people feel very good about spending that money. So one thing you can think about is ask the government to give us gift certificates. That, of course, is a bit complex. But imagine that the government gave us a debit card. That was preloaded with some amount of money, and it had the logo of the government, make a picture of Barack Obama smiling, and a statement that says, spend the government's money.
Oh, that's
interesting. If you held this thing in your pocket.
Technologically, that's easy to do, actually, isn't it?
Technologically, it's trivial to do, and I'm sure every credit card company would be very happy to help with this. But it would also separate this money from the regular pot of money that we have. It will make it separate, and then we would spend it much more easily. And on top of that, I think that Obama has this social capital right now that he could actually ask us to spend it on a specific thing that would make sense for the economy.
And you think he would
buy more American
and you think
make.
He would do it?
Well, you know, will he do it? You know, his speech gave us a lot of promise about this kind of social coordination of all of us, that kind of Kennedy-like speech in which we should all act in the best of the country. Now the question is, will he make some requests from us to do it?
Well, let's talk track record on that. I mean, during the 1970s, when the auto industry was in such trouble and there was also this paranoid concern about the Japanese, there were all kinds of calls from Washington to buy American cars. It didn't work.
It didn't work. And I'm not sure what was the record on Kennedy's request to start wearing sweaters.
But let me ask you this, Dan. That may be true, everything you've just laid out in terms of motivating behavior in general, but let's take the tax code specifically. The tax code is set up to influence behavior. Let's take charitable donations, for example, right? If you give donations, you get deductions. We're encouraging that behavior, and more people do it so that they can get those deductions.
That's right. So the tax code does have an effect. The question is, does it have a maximal effect that it has? So look, what's happening is that we're going to give a tax benefit to people. Let's say we're going to spend $200 billion. The question is, what value are you going to get out of it? You can get a smaller value if people spend a small proportion of it and deposit most of it in their checking account. And you could get more value out of it if you make people feel that they should spend more out of it. So it's basically a question of how do you take the same fixed pie and make it more usable.
But this account could be kind of dynamic. I mean, you could have this debit card that everybody gets, and then you go and look at your balance to see when they put an infusion into the stimulus program, and maybe infusion number one is one level, and they say, go buy this, and infusion number two is this other level. You get people sort of participating in the stimulus as opposed to simply taking a check down to the bank.
That's right. There could be all kinds of benefits. So one of the interesting things is that for the last 8 years, this is going to be the third time we're going to give people money back. The last two times didn't really work that well. We tried it once was, I think, 2000 maybe, and once in 2007. It didn't really work that well. So why are we expecting to do the same thing now and that all of a sudden it will work? That's the big mystery for me.
Would it work with different smiling faces on the debit card? I mean, you said Barack Obama's smiling face on the debit card, but we could have, you know.
Like who?
I don't know. Well, maybe you could get your own smiling face on the debit card.
your kids' money. But you know, I think there's a bigger point here, which is to say, is it correct to try and buy Americans into spending more money? And there's an intuition in which we have kind of a social norm around society of how much do we do for each other. And Americans in general are incredibly generous with their money and time in contributing. And one way to think about economic recession is a social coordination problem. You know, if we all think there's a recession and we all halt our spending and we all stop it, nobody will spend anything, and as a consequence, the economy will drop substantially. But if we all start believing that it's actually good for us to help each other, to donate, to help people in need, to buy more things, we could actually save the economy. It's like a run on the bank.
So the idea of service, of everybody needing to do their part, is actually maybe a narrative in which Barack Obama could mobilize exactly the kind of behavior that you're talking about. We will see about the debit card, though. Dan Ariely, thanks so much for joining us.
My pleasure, as always.
Dan Ariely is the James B. Duke Professor of Behavioral Economics at Duke University and author of Predictably Irrational. He joined us from Durham, North Carolina.
You really want your smiling face on your own debit card, John? You sure about that?
It doesn't have to smile.
It could just be your face.
Stern face. Get out there and spend, John.
Okay, good. Just wanted to clear that up. Anyhow, lots of folks are still talking about President Obama's use of the word non-believers in his inauguration speech, but not all of you paid that much attention.
This is Gary Cecil from Highland Falls, New York. I wasn't so much listening to the words of President Obama in his inaugural address. I know he's an accomplished orator and would deliver a soaring speech, but I will be watching his actions. Those are of great concerns to me as a Christian of the stripe of Reverend Rick Warren.
Fair enough. Whether you're a believer or a non-believer, we want to hear your thoughts on Obama using that word. Give us a call at 877-8-MY-TAKE or MyTake at thetakeaway.org. And on our website, thetakeaway.org, there's more on the new administration, the cabinet, and the policies of the new president. I'm Adora Udoji.
And I'm John Hockenberry. This is The Takeaway.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.